Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. One of my favorite quotes from Winston Churchill is, "Never, never, 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 never give up. Never, 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 never give in." And I think we can see that Jesus is kind of talking about that with prayer today in our parable. He's talking about, I think, something we all have experienced. How many of you pray? Okay, majority. Good. Keep it up. This is our umbilical cord to God. Pray. But sometimes we pray once for something, nothing happens. Sometimes we pray twice for something, nothing happens. Sometimes even we'll go a third time and pray for something, and nothing happens. Still, God doesn't seem to answer our prayers. Why doesn't God just answer our prayers on the first request? I mean, what's going on? Are we just breathing air, words into the air? Do we have to keep praying over and over and over? What good does praying if we don't get an answer? Well, there's an old story told by a rabbi about a very faithful woman who dies, and she goes to heaven. And Gabriel, the archangel, meets her and takes her for a grand tour of heaven. It's wonderful. And then they go into this one big room, and it's so bright, you have to squint. And there she sees a stack of with people's names on them. And she says to Gabriel, "What's that?" And he says, "Those are God's answers to prayer." She said, "Wow, but why are they still here?" "Well, because the person quit praying before we had a chance to answer the prayer." Pray always, Jesus says. Today, Jesus is saying that the real key to prayer is to pray over and over and over again. Don't just talk about it. Do it. It's like when I tell Joan I love you, she'll say, "Show me." So here comes the dishes and washing the laundry and hurry, 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 Fredorelli, Fredorelli. But you got to show it. But prayer was like if you want to be a friend with somebody, be a friend. You got to talk to the person, call them, keep in touch, get to know them. Well, same with God. God loves you. The unconditional love is there. But for us to receive, we need to surrender, be open to that. The real key to prayer is to pray. Prayer needs to be a lifestyle. And it doesn't always mean you got to say something. Sometimes just being open, say, "God, be with me." You know, sometimes in the evening, Joan and I will be watching Matlock, okay? And we're sitting on the couch just holding hands. We don't have to say anything, but I know she loves me. She knows I love her. Just holding hands. We can just be with God. We don't have to be saying something. We could be praying something. We could ask for this or thank God for that or tell God you're angry about that. But I think the problem is sometimes in prayer we make a mistake. We think God is our genie. We'll say, "God, do this, poof, it'll be done for us. God, do this, and poof, it'll be done for us. God, do this, poof, it'll be done for us." And God works differently. Oh, yeah, the prayer might be answered now, or it might be answered 10 years from now. But the thing with God is prayer, he wants us to have a relationship. To talk to God like you talk to a friend. To call on God in all situations. To know that God is there. And sometimes, even when we have trouble, those are opportunities to really let go of all the distractions and call on God. You know, it's like when I found out I had cancer. You know, I prayed, and somehow I was given peace, and I had a great surgeon, and it was, you know, I knew God was there to call on God. Jesus saying, "Be persistent in prayer," draws us closer to trust in God. And I remember when I had my epidural after the surgery and I had to get out of bed. They don't fool around. They get you out of bed right away. They can't be lazy after the surgery. And I felt a visceral lifting. It had to be an angel. It had to be answer to prayer that God was with me. In fact, God wants us to be so persistent in prayer that we turn our whole life into prayer. And that we're God conscious. Just like a mother and father is conscious of their baby. Always a baby is there. Or a beloved spouse. You think about your spouse in situations. Or, you know, whatever, whoever is where your heart is, you, that person's with you. Even if that person dies, that person's still with you. I remember when my dad died suddenly. Of course, for him it was happy. I mean, he watched the Steelers win on Monday Night Football. He went to bed, he went to heaven. Boom. For us, it was a shock. And I prayed. I said, gee, Dad, I had so many things I wanted to ask you. 2 months later, I'm taking a nap. It was on Christmas Day, I think. Well, yeah. And I had one of those, Carl Jung would say, big dreams. It was in color. And my dad was there. And it was like talking to you right now. And he said, are you having okay time with the church? And I said, well, you know. He said, did you pray for them? I said, oh, well, okay, that's a good idea. Are you being a good husband to your wife and a good father? And it was just like we're talking, and he was there. It was like an answer to prayer. This is a big problem for us because we tend to separate the sacred from the profane, the sacred from the secular. We say, okay, we're in church now. This is sacred time, right? This is holy time. Yeah. Or if you're at a baptism or a wedding or a funeral, you're in church. Yeah. But then once we leave here and go back into our Monday through Saturday world, it's kind of like God's not there. But he is, and we lose the consciousness of God because we kind of separate time in church from the time in the world. Then we don't see everything as God. They'll say, how can this happen in the world? We see this thing about war. Oh, this is terrible. Where's God? You know, but God's there. We tend to see our Monday through Saturday as secular. And we tend to see our time in worship different from our time at home or time at leisure or watching the Steelers. Yeah, I did pray. And we lost. But then in prayer, God said, look, there's two wonderful quarterbacks. It's a wonderful game for these older quarterbacks. And I got some joy out of it. God can change you in the persistence you have in prayer. But this illusion where this is sacred and this is secular, that's an illusion. In reality, as followers of Jesus, everything is sacred. Everything is holy. Especially if we are conscious of making it sacred by calling God into all of our situations. Because God is already there. We need to open our hearts and minds to know God there, at play, at worship, at work, wherever we are in a traffic jam, getting a sauna, you know, wherever we are, God is there with us, loving us. We can turn our whole lives into prayer if we decide to see the reality of God's in everything, everything sacred. You want to give it a shot? You want to try it? Okay, let's look at a song. Okay, a song by the Four Tops. Maybe you know it. I'll Be There. Remember that song? Some of us my age, you know, you guys back in that lax, you don't know this one. But the Four Tops, they had a wonderful song. If you feel like you can't go on, cause all your hope is, that's why I'm not singing with you this afternoon, all is gone, and your life is filled with confusion, and happiness is just an illusion, and our world around us is tumbling down, darling, reach out. Reach out. I'll be there to give you all the love you need. I'll be there. You can always depend on me. Well, you know, of course, that's a song about a guy that loves his girlfriend. And he wants to show her, he'll give her all the love he can give her, as unconditional as a human can be. But we can also take that as a prayer. God saying to you, I'll be there to love and comfort you. I'll be there. You can always depend on me. And so what we would take as secular and non-church, you know, all you need is love. Okay, all you need is God, you know. Love is coming. Love is coming to it. Any song can be like a prayer. Any situation can be a prayer. You know, when I have a sandwich, okay, I get good Isley's chipped ham, and you get a slice of tomato, and you get a slice of onion, and you get some lettuce, Hellman's mayonnaise, and you put that in your mouth, and you just start chewing, and you savor it. And you say, thank you, God, for taste buds. Thank you for that little piggy that gave me the ham. Thank you for the Hellman makers. Thank you for that tomato that I cut up. You know, it can be a joy. Or Sarah's candy, huh? Take a little piece of Sarah's and some coffee in the morning, and your mouth goes into ecstasy. You savor that. And then you drink the coffee. Boy, it pops. That taste. Thank you, God, for that. It's a gift from God. That can be a prayer. That can be a prayer. Everything can be. So you're praying always. It's not just saying, Lord, help me. It could be that. Thank you, Lord. You know, help me be a better pastor. Help me be a better husband. Help me be a better person. But also just to be aware of God's loving presence. And you're in God's loving arms. You can pray without saying a word. Just be present. Or you can do a mantra prayer. Like, my Lord, you breathe in. My God, you breathe out. Presence of God when you're walking. Prayer changes us. Prayer changes the world. You know, there was a person that was kind of mad at me. I know it's hard to believe, but they were mad at me. And I don't like that. I want to go right away and say, okay, let's talk about it. But sometimes people aren't ready to talk about it. They need space. They need time to cool down. So I said, okay, Lord, what am I going to do? So I prayed about it, and the Lord said, cool it, Fred. Be patient, Fred. I hate that answer. I hate that answer. Be patient, Fred. And it took over a week. But when the time was right, I started talking to this person, and they thanked me for giving them space, and we talked about it, and there was a healing taking place. It was because of prayer, not Fred, but prayer, and the Lord helped me take the time the other person needed to heal. And it's good. Prayer changes us too. Don't give up. And if you don't pray, start. This is a wonderful gift from God to pray. Pray persistently. Pray always. God presumes that we pray. Because what does Jesus say? When you pray, pray like this. He assumes that his followers are people of prayer. People of prayer. So Jesus tells us today, pray. The great Eastern Orthodox master, Metropolitan Anthony, says this: prayer is being. Being. Prayer is being. It is not something we do. It is not something added on. Prayer is being aware of who we are. Prayer is being aware of who God is in our lives, in your life, in the world's life. Pray. Jesus says, pray. And that way, we know God's presence. Pray. We know God's strength and succor. Pray. Because as you pray, you become a child of God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.